It's Friday, January 26th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. That's right, folks. It's Friday. Are you ready for a great show? I know I am. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and we're coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everyone? I tell you what, are you ready for the weekend? I know that I am. I am so ready. You just would not believe it. It's been a week that I would I would rather just put behind me. It's been a struggle all week. And it's just been job stuff. It's been kids. It's been homework. It's been this. It's been that. I am so ready. I'm so ready for the weekend. I can't even tell you how much. But hey, thanks for all of you that are long-term subscribers of the show. Hey, thanks for being part of the Ohana. And for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, thanks for joining us. And of course, we hope that you stay subscribed and become an illustrious Ohana member here, or family member, as we say here in Hawaii. And I tell you, I'm kind of jazzed. I got a very cool voicemail today from one of our esteemed Ohana, and it really kind of put me in a good mood. And I'll play it at the end of the show. But you know, every once in a while, I'll get an email or I'll get a voicemail in that just makes me it kind of recharges my batteries and really makes me want to make sure that we get the show out and I get you guys great content. But hey, how's everyone? I tell you, I've got a lot of stuff cooking for the weekend as well. Saturday, I'm going to be spending some time getting ready for a demo that we're going to be doing on Tuesday. Now, I can't talk a lot about the demo, but I'm going to be online with a number of people showing off some of the stuff that we've been doing at Raw Voice, and I'm real excited about that. And I may even be headed out to Chicago here in the very, very near future. Now, the Chicago trip is all based upon whether or not our team has got our schedules worked out. We're actually going to go out there and lock ourselves in a hotel room somewhere in the Windy City and rent a suite. And we're going to have 2 or 3 days of nonstop meetings. We have some stuff we have to get worked through. But that could be coming down in a couple of weeks. Now, I don't know if any of us are going to be available in the Chicago area to see anyone. We may open up a slot of 2 or 3 hours in the evening or something like that that we'll make available, but we'll let you know. So if any of you are out in the Chicago area, you just keep tuned and keep tuned to the show or, you know, watch the website, and we'll be talking about that soon. All right. Got kind of an interesting thing that's coming down the pike. I was contacted earlier in the week by my sponsor, GoDaddy, and they said, hey, Todd, would you be willing to run a video for us on Saturday? And I was like, sure. What is it? We can't tell you. So then I said, okay, they said, we're going to have to send you an NDA. And I said, well, I've already got an NDA on file with you guys. Do I have to sign another one? And they said, yes. So they sent me the NDA, and I sent that back to them. And I thought, boy, they're going to extraordinary lengths. And then I got the guy on the phone again. I said, okay, so what's this all about? And he says, I can't tell you. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, I signed an NDA. Basically to say that I wouldn't say what's coming, and I don't know what's coming. So something is going to be coming in my email. I'm expecting tomorrow night or sometime very, very soon. So we'll have to see what it is. I really, really don't know. And so keep an eye on the website. We'll put it up when it comes through. I'm sure it's going to be something pretty awesome. They never have requested that. They've never asked me to put a video clip up on the website before. And, they're great sponsors here. And, of course, I want to support them and what they're doing. So we will see. We'll see what they've got cooking here. So keep your eyes peeled on the website, okay? And that probably brings up a good point. I've got that video feed, that video RSS feed going. I did blog about it on the website. It's at geeknewscentral.com/video.xml. That's where the video-only feed is going to be going. And what we're going to do is learned a lot of things about what we did out at the Consumer Electronics Show. So probably in the future, what we'll do is we'll have some separate feeds, because some people really weren't interested in getting the videos somewhere. So we'll probably have consistently two feeds up, one video, one audio, and we'll keep them separated. And if you want the content, you can subscribe to both. All right, what else is going on? Well, of course, we've got our roundtable this coming Sunday. And we hope that you'll attend. And remember, seating is extremely, extremely limited. Now, here's the trick on how you're going to be able to get in to the show. Now, let me go ahead and go over to the website, because I don't have the data written down in front of me. Go over to techpodcast.com. And on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, or 4 p.m. Pacific, probably about 30 minutes, maybe 20 to 30 minutes before the program gets started, we're going to issue the actual access code at techpodcast.com. So essentially, you're going to have to come over to the website and click to get in. And we're looking forward to this event. We're going to have Tim Verbotten's going to be talking about Mac freeware applications. Adrian Bacon's going to be talking about his experience with switching to a Mac. And Annie McCaskin, a representative from JuiceCaster.com, is going to be on to demo their service. Of course, we'll have that up as a video feed after the show as well. I don't know if I'm going to be on that one or not. It all depends if how things go, if they need an extra body to help record stuff. So I may not be in attendance, but this will be the first one that I've actually set out. So I hope that you'll join the team over there. And of course, we're going to be using GoToMeeting, the world's best web-based conferencing tool. And you'll get to see all the cool features. And it's all the stuff that I kind of brag about here in the show about that application. And you'll be able to try it. Essentially, you'll be able to watch what we're doing online, and at the same time, get a chance to try that out yourself for free for 30 days at gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Now, as well, of course, we always want to make sure you save money here on the show. And creating your mobile website using Website Tonight from GoDaddy.com. Easily create websites that are formatted specifically for wireless phones and PDAs, making them easy to load and navigate from your favorite mobile device. Also, .mobi domains are now available for general registration. Additional discounts do not apply to the .mobi domains. So you know, keep that advised if you get over there to get a .mobi. I said .mobi. Domain name. But, of course, if you do any other purchases over there as well, you can use the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you check out and you save an additional 10% on any order. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Well, how was everyone's week? I hope everyone had a great week. I hope that it was a productive one for you. I know that the weather has been weird back in the lower 48, but you know, I'm sitting here tonight. I've got a window open a little bit. Got a little bit of the trade winds blowing through the room. It's at least, well, it might be 79. out, and shorts and a t-shirt, and it's quite nice. It's refreshing here in Hawaii this time of year. It hasn't been raining too much like it did last year, so that's been nice. But the weather is absolutely beautiful. And you know, if you are a listener and you get ready to take a vacation, you come out to Honolulu, make sure you let me know. I've been able to meet with some listeners from time to time, but my schedule allows it. But I'm always looking forward to talk to different people that listen to the show when they come out to the islands. Okay, got a lot of content for you tonight. I really, really do. Found some good stuff, and it's been kind of an interesting news week. And I put some of my CES videos up. I found some time last night to actually put up five or six Consumer Electronics Show videos. And those things, I'm amazed. I'm just absolutely amazed at the amount of traffic that those have got, not only on the website, but also the independent traffic over at blip.tv. And that is, if you're a YouTuber, if you love YouTube, I'm going to tell you what, Blip has got some really cool stuff. You would definitely want to go over there and check out their service, especially if you are doing video yourself. That is the place to put it. It just, they do such a better job in coding, and it looks so much better on the website. Now, I do notice that the YouTube actual box that you would be able to put on a website loads a little bit faster than the Blip does. So I've noticed a little bit of a performance hit on the website because I'm essentially having five or six JavaScript scripts fire when every time the page loads, and that's taking a little bit longer for the site to load. We're looking at that real close, trying to determine a better way to to speed the site load up. I think once the videos get processed through and there's mostly just text on the site as it is in its normal day-to-day operations, I think the site will be, its performance will be back where it should be. But I just want to let you know, a couple of you have commented on that, and we're definitely watching it. All right, a little bit of news coming out. Of course, Windows Vista is right around the corner. But I did find an article that talked about the OEM pricing, and you don't see this making it out on the street too often, but quite a difference in the pricing that computer manufacturers pay for Windows Vista as compared to what you and I are going to pay for standard retail. The Vista Home Basic. Now, this would be a original installation, and it's going to be for, a new computer. The OEM version is $99. The standard retail for you and I will pay would be $199. Vista Home Premium is $119 for OEM, $239 for you and I. Vista Business is $149. Standard retail is $299 on that, and Windows Ultimate is $199. With the retail at $399, so a considerable difference in price. And so if you're going to get ready to buy a new computer, you can almost bet that that is, the value that you're getting out of your PC. There's at least $100 or $200 worth of software on there from Microsoft that the OEM has had to pay for. So I've always wondered, and I'm sure that the big manufacturers like Dell and those other companies, I'm sure they get a bigger discount than what it's all based on the volume, I'm sure. But it is kind of interesting to see. You look at some of these deals they have for PCs these days, and I don't think the Windows Vista machines are going to be, I think they're going to come in a little bit higher than what you've seen recently in laptop and desktop prices. But I think what we'll see there is over time, the price will probably come down, but initially I don't think so. But with those like $400 computers they've got now that are available sometimes, you can buy in the big boxes, $100 of that could be operating system. So it makes you wonder what's left inside and how much, how good that hardware really is in order for those companies to continue making a profit. Now, if you do buy Windows Vista on its launch, you're going to get a free promotional deal where you're going to be able to use T-Mobile hotspots for up to 90 days for free. So if you've got a laptop with Vista on it in your area where there is a T-Mobile hotspot, you'll be able to access that for 90 days. Before I had my Sprint EVDO card, I do know that I use the T-Mobile hotspots in airports and so forth. So if you don't have an EVDO a card, then you'll be able to use use that if you're traveling or wherever you're at in a variety of different locations. I guess over 8,000 locations now have the T-Mobile hotspots. All right, we talked a little bit over the last couple of shows about how the HD DVD format was essentially broken and how people are now able to rip their HD DVD and also Blu-ray DVDs. And there was a very good interview done over at slick.com. That's slyck.com. And I found there was a couple of things in this article that just hit home with me. He says, in the interview question, the interviewee says, the mainstream media tends to have many labels for you, i.e. hacker, cracker, pirate, etc. In response to your efforts, what would you call yourself and what would you label your efforts? And he replies, and I think this is will hit home with many of you. He says, I'm just an upset customer. My efforts can be called fair use enforcement. And he goes on to say, what motivated you to help circumvent the content protection scheme associated with HD DVD and Blu-ray? He says, with the HD DVD, I wasn't able to play my movies on my HDCP HD monitor, and not being able to play a movie that I had paid for because some executive in Hollywood decided that I cannot be made me mad. After the HD DVD crack, I realized that things were unbalanced by having just one format crack, so I did Blu-ray too. Very interesting. Very interesting responses. There's a lot more to this interview, but and it was relatively easy for him to do it. I think he did it in like 3 days or something like that. And he refined it over time, but we're seeing a lot more of the HD DVDs out now in the wild on the torrent sites. And I think I've actually got an article linked later on in the show, and I'll actually talk about it now. But the AACS is acknowledging, and the AACS is the Advanced Access Content System. That group has responded in admitting that, yes, the encryption has been broken. And they go on to say what you would expect them to say. They're not real happy about it. But, you know, they spent a lot of money, folks. They spent just a ton of money to encrypt that. And, it just takes one guy to get mad, and he wants fair use of his media. You know, you think about it. You've got an HD DVD. You've got a player that will play it, but you've got a monitor that won't play it back. It won't allow you to view it. That would just make you mad too, right? Well, anyway, check this article out, and I'll have a link in the show notes, of course. Of course, always you can always send your comments on the show to our voicemail line at 619-342-7365. And, of course, geeknews@gmail.com for your email comments. All right, there's a article over on Mobile Crunch. It talks about Sprint launching the Mobile Faker by, and I'm going to probably destroy this, Moderati is the name of the company, but Sprint has launched a new service being introduced by ringtone giant Moderati. It's designed to help you save face while allowing an escape from social situations that you might otherwise be forced to endure, as they put it, make your mobile a social weapon. And it's kind of interesting here what they've done here. It's actually kind of fun. You can set it up to, essentially have fake calls sent to you. You can have it set up so that people that keep asking you for your number and bugging you, you can get them, give them a fake number. There's all kinds of cool little things here that this application does. It looks like a lot of fun, but they call it the Mobile Faker. And, of course, it's available over at Moderati, Moderati.com. You guys can check that out. All right, NASA, JPL, they have released the best photos of Saturn and also the best photos of Mars from the rovers. Very, very cool pictures. Now, if you've been over at geeknewscentral.com today, you've seen the two winners. But I encourage you to go link into the, just click on the image. This will take you to the NASA site, and you'll be able to view all of the ones that were in contention. The Saturn picture is just, no words are necessary. It's absolutely breathtaking. And if you look at it, you'd almost think that some guy had fired up Photoshop and created this. You just can't imagine that this is a real picture. It's simply amazing. So those links are already over at geeknewscentral.com, but I'll include those tonight, of course, in the show note links as well. For those of you that are Firefox users, how many of you have done a www.google.com or, mistype a letter from here and there? Well, they've got a plugin now that you can load into Firefox that will essentially protect you a little bit from those false, if you type in C-O-N instead of C-O-M, or you type in G-O-G-L-E, or, whatever you, for popular sites, if you make a mistake, it's going to recognize that. It's going to say, hey, before you want to go to this next site, which may be a site that you don't necessarily want to go to, would you rather us redirect you to the correct site that we think you're inputting incorrectly? And very, very cool. I know I've done that a dozen times. And, what really scares me is when you do that in Internet Explorer. If you've got Internet Explorer loaded up and you type in a wrong address and it loads some page that is caused your Spy Sweeper application to load up and say, hey, there's something bad on this page. it could come in handy. It could save your computer from being infected. And I think where this would come in real handy is for your kids. And if you've got kids, you know, my kids always holler at me, "Dad, where's my email at again?" And I'll tell them gmail.com or, you know, wherever they may forget where our location is. And, you know, they never get it right. I have to go in there and, you know, I have got stuff bookmarked for them or whatever, but they always want to use the keyboard. I'm sure many of us use the keyboard rather than using the bookmarks as well. But it may come in handy for your kids as well, to keep them away from some of those sites that you don't necessarily, you don't mind them going to Google, but you don't want them going to some other alternate site, and it's not just Google, but it's a variety of websites as well. So check that out in the show notes, URL fixer for Firefox. Now, if you watch any of the videos over at Geek News Central, and I saw that Michael Arrington had picked up on the new music site called Avenue. I did had a great interview with those folks, and talks about their product. It's at www.avvenu.com. And essentially what Avenue allows you to do is it allows you to listen and share your Apple iTunes music collection from anywhere. So you don't just have to have your iPod, you know, to listen to your music collection that you have on your iTunes library. You can send it to your mobile phone, or be at a friend's house and still be able to access it all. Now, how they get around all of the restriction rights is they stream the video there. I'm streaming the audio into either your mobile phone or into your friend's house. So check out Avenue. I thought it was a very, very cool product. They had a great site. I talked to their CEO at length. And if you want to see the video, you can, of course, do a search on the website. We've got it tagged, so you'll be able to find it very, very easily. AVVENU is the website, avenue.com. And they're getting some good press. They really, really are. And, you know, they were over at the Sands Convention Center, and that is kind of a place where we always find all the cool, innovative stuff. And they were way back in the corner. I mean, they were all the way back in a hall in a very, very bad position as far as traffic-wise. And ran across them, and I think we're one of the few that got videos out of Avenue. I think there was a couple other groups that did, but you'll be able to check it out online as well. Okay, there's a guy that, you know, some of you are big fans, and, you know, I've been watching what's going on at Dig, and I used to get a lot of valuable data from Dig, and I'm serious. I used to get maybe 10 or 15 articles a day off there that I would consider blogging. And the experience is really, I don't know what's happening with Dig, but the quality is just not there as it was before. And I was real excited when the Dig podcasting site launched, because I thought that it had the potential to become a great place to drive traffic to. And all it's really turned into is a popularity contest where, you know, they don't reset nothing. I think the Dig Nation podcast has like 25,000 digs or something like that. And I'm sure it's a big ego boost for those companies, but for those shows that are in that top list. And I don't know where we fall out in there. I think there was about 200 of you maybe that went in and dug the show, which I definitely appreciate. But at this point, really, there's no way, you know, again, the same shows again and again are at the very top of their popularity list. The same thing is on iTunes. It's almost a mirror of the shows that are on the different directories. And I really think that a lot of these sites are really blowing it, because there's so much great content that's down in the weeds that people are not finding. Where I am really believing what we're doing over at Blueberry, at blueberry.com, blueberry.com, is really significant in that we're giving shows, everyone, every podcaster, an equal opportunity to get front page exposure. And we've got a way now so that individual shows or individual episodes can essentially be, if you think a show's really good, you can go over to the website and you can, it's called juice it, you go over and juice a show. And we've got some old algorithms set up so that the front page doesn't stay stagnant. It's not the same shows every day. We do some rotation. We make sure that as the shows get older, they come off the front page. But you know, I just, I guess I'm a little bit disheartened in what both the iTunes directory has turned into and the variety of different sites. There's ways we've got to be able to find this content, and I don't know if the folks at Dig are looking at what's going on there and will make some changes in the future, but I think that we really need to look at where this is headed and make sure that all these great new podcasters who are struggling to get their shows listened to and heard are able to be heard. And you know, there's only a few ways that you can find them, is if you find them via a random Google search, or if you dig down deep, I mean deep into these listings where they show the top 100 or whatever. It's tough. It really, really is. But what do you guys think? I'd really love to hear. I'd like to get more feedback from listeners on what you guys need in order to make your experience in finding this new content that's out here in this podcasting space and video casting space. What can we do? What can I do as a company owner to make it easier for you, not necessarily on my properties, but as, you know, going out to the community as at large and saying, hey, you know, are we really taking care of the listeners here? Are we really, is this more self-centering or self-serving? Is it ego-boosting type stuff? You know, where are we at with this, you know? And being a podcaster, sure, I'd love to be in that top list. I know it's not going to happen. But you know what? It really doesn't matter, because you guys are what's important. It's important for you guys to be able to find content out there that you're looking for. And what kind of brought this up was I found an article by a gentleman who was able to have a day at Dig. And he got to go around their offices and talk to them. I really... You know, when people go into these situations, when bloggers go in there, I wish they would go armed with questions that would, you know, make for some very, very good discussion within the company itself. I don't know. But anyway, I'll link up to this guy's day at Dig, and he talks about hanging out there and how he had fun and, you know, kind of what he got to watch Dig Nation being re-recorded. And, you know, those guys are superstars. They do some cool stuff. And, of course, they got great name recognition, of course, as well, via the site and so forth. Yep, check it out. All right, have you all noticed that more and more I'm starting to see on the internet, I'm starting to see just an extreme number of super high-quality pictures. I am blown away where we have come in photography in the last just 10 years. And, of course, digital has made a huge, huge impact. What I'm going to reference you to is a picture of I believe it's a Boeing 777 that is taking off, who is actually, they had an engine failure during takeoff. Now, the aircraft was okay, and it was, it landed, did an emergency landing and so forth, but there was, you know, really no problem. But this detail, you can tell that this aircraft has just took off because the wheels are going up into the wheel wells and the doors haven't yet closed. But yet in the smoke pattern from the engine that's from this shot, you can actually see the Derbys in the air. Now, when I first saw this picture, I wanted to reach up and kind of, I thought my screen was dirty, but you can actually see the metal fragments from this jetliner taking off. Wow. Now, I don't know what kind of, this guy was, let me see here. Does it tell what he shot this with? He shot this with let me look here. He shot it with a Nikon D70 with a Nikkor 80x200 lens at f-stop at 2.8. Now, I'm not a big photography guy, so maybe you that are hardcore guys can tell me what level of camera he had there, but it's simply amazing. And I'll link it up in the show notes. It's not really techie, but it just shows you where we have come with digital photography, and you know, it can only get better from here. I can only imagine what we're going to be seeing online as time goes on, especially with everyone having digital cameras and putting stuff up. All right, I found an article today that should make all of you sit back and think a little bit. And, you know, none of us like to talk about death. None of us want to contemplate death. And, you know, last year was a bad year for me in that department as far as, you know, losing my dad. But there's an article by a gentleman who is a blogger. It's called Don to Earth, and he is a 93-year-old blogger. And I almost want to read this article to you, but I think it's so powerful that I think it's important that all of you go over there and read it yourself. And this guy is basically, here's the title of the post. He says, it bothers me that I have to go. And of course, he's referring to, he's 93 and he's a realist. He knows he doesn't have a lot of years left. And this guy lives in Canada. But he's very articulate in his comments. And I think any of us that no matter what age you are, if you read this, you should be able to sit back and contemplate, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? Where do I want to go? Am I doing everything I need to do? It's kind of one of those type of articles. But it struck me as a good article to give to you all. I know it's not on the tech side, but I hope that at least one of you will get something out of this and maybe motivate yourself into doing something that maybe you necessarily hadn't considered doing in the past, and do a little internal reflection. It's always good to do that, to do a little sanity check from time to time. All right. Up on ctcentral.com, a blogger gets a uncease and desist. Yeah, you heard me correctly, uncease and desist. And, of course, I've been a fan of Second Life, but there was a pretty funny website that was launched by Darren Barefoot. And if you go over to getafirstlife.com, you can see how he has made a parody of the Second Life website. And it is pretty funny. And it gives, I think what he's done here is he's also tried to jar people a little bit, saying, hey, get out, breathe some fresh air. Look at the sky, go to the beach, go to the ski slope, just get out and be with people. Don't live inside your computer screen, and do not by any means get stuck in Second Life and destroy your life. we've all heard about people that have, we've heard about some stories about some people getting divorced over Second Life, but I think it's pretty cool that the folks at Linden Labs sent him a uncease and desist, and they realized that the site was a parody site and didn't get all stupid. So it's nice to see at least that the company has a sense of humor and was willing to not go after him in any way. All right, there's a good article on Gizmodo. It says, Zune, how we lived with it for 3 months. And the Zune that I mailed out has went into Never Never Land. We don't know where the person is. I've sent her a couple of emails saying, do you like your Zune? And haven't got anything back. So maybe it went on eBay. Who knows? But it's basically people talking about the power of the Zune, and what they really like about it is the, all-you-can-eat subscription models where you can go and get all the music you want for a flat rate. You pay for it, pay for that subscription. You just, it's keeps you up to date. And, I think for old fogies like me, and I guess I'll start, I shouldn't say I'm an old fogey, but, I've got the music that I grew up with that I like listening to. And I'll be honest with you, I like a little bit of AC/DC from time to time, and Aerosmith. And, I like a little metal on occasion. And so a lot of the new stuff that's out there, I don't really listen to. But every once in a while, I'll hear a song and say, oh, that's pretty cool. And I'll go out and try to find it. But, if you're a guy like me, or if you're kind of out of touch what's going on with music, the Zune might be a alternative for you to get you up to speed on some of the latest jams. And if you've got one, why not? Go ahead, subscribe to the service and use it. But that's kind of the nexus of the Gizmodo article, is talking about how they've used it in that mode and talking about using and watching video on it as well. All right, the official Google blog has a little bit of insight on what's coming ahead with Google Video and YouTube. And, of course, we've been watching anxiously to see if Google would bring YouTube into the meld, if it would be integrated in some way. But I think what we're going to start seeing, of course, is the power of the Google advertising machine to really kick it up and start getting some money out of YouTube. And they're going to be pushing videos up there as well. The hard part is trying to determine what's a paid advertisement and what's a real thing on YouTube anymore. But it's you know, when people do search engine searches, they're now going to get intermixed within those search engine results. They're going to get links to YouTube videos as well. So if you're putting stuff up there, make sure, of course, that you're tagging it well. They're putting in good descriptions. Just don't drop the video in there and put no, without any type of supporting show notes per se. Because if you don't, you may not get found. And, you know, if you want your stuff to be found, you got to put all that good metadata in there. You know what I'd really want? I tell you what would be really cool and what would a service I would pay for is if I could take a video, drop it to one service, and then they farm that out to all the different video sites that's out there. They would push it for me. That would be, you know, I bet you some company or someone would be able to make a lot of money doing that because, you know, it's a real pain to go out there and drop the video to five or six different places. If we ever get caught up over at Raw Voice, I might cut my team loose and have some internal tools to be built to do that just that same thing. I think that would be a good added value service for, you know, those that are doing video casting with us or on the Blueberry Network to be able to push their videos. And it just makes sense, right? You know, why do you want to upload it to 50? You have to be on those multiple sites, but you just don't want to take the time to do it. But I sure would love to see an application like that. All right, if you are a modder, you definitely want to check out the mod of the year, and I'll have a link up to that. I'm not a big gamer. I'm not a big modder of any type of equipment. I know some of you are, so go ahead and I'll have that up for you in the show notes, and there's some gaming features here too, some mods that went out in games, so you can check that out. There's a good interview. Now, how many of you have used the Pirate Bay? The Pirate Bay is a BitTorrent tracking site. There's a great article over on torrentfreak.com, and this is a pretty tough article. This is really, this guy that was doing the interviewing really was aggressive. I love to see these kinds of aggressive interviews, and the gentleman being interviewed really did a good job of doing the kind of the politician sidestep and then, you know, going on with his own agenda. He was asked no fewer than probably six or seven times what kind of money the Pirate Bay makes, and it just goes on and on. This is a great article. It talks about piracy, talks about you know, what happens if they get sued, talks about DRM. You know, and I definitely agree with some of his thoughts on DRM, but this interview must have been an hour and a half. There's that many questions here. So definitely check that out, torrentfreak.com. I'll have the link up in the show notes. All right, the Scientific American website at scientificamerican.com has released their 20 hottest gadgets from the Consumer Electronics Show. They have a photo gallery that we'll flip through, and you all can check through that and see what they liked. I've looked through it. There's actually a couple of things in there that we actually found on the show floor as well. So check out scientificamerican.com. Link will be up in the show notes. All right, there's been a lot of people complaining that they have it's hard for them to take their audio wherever they want to access their audio, no matter where they're at. If they're at work, if they're on the road, you know, wherever they happen to be, without having to worry about having a hard drive blow, losing data, and so forth. But there's a tutorial on how to have iTunes everywhere using Amazon S3 as your music library. It does require a Mac to do what he has done here, but very, very smart. This is a cool, you know, S3, they charge you for bandwidth, and they charge you also for storage. But for storing, you know, 40, 50 gigs of data, it's very affordable. But you can check out what he's done here, those of you that are Mac users, and have your iTunes library everywhere available via the Amazon S3 directory service, or, you know, essentially repository, and I think it's pretty cool. All right, everyone wants a computer in their car, right? You know, when you're driving down the road, you want to stay connected. You know, I don't know about most of you, but most of us guys are usually driving, right? In my household, my wife rarely drives when I'm in the car with her. I think it's just And I think that's just the way it is in our society, right? Now, some of you probably let your wives or your girlfriends drive. Now, the question would be is, if you had a computer in your car, would you really get any use out of it? What would you use it for? Your music library or videos for the kids? Or, you know, what would be the actual utilization of a computer in your car? Well, if you want one, if you're just the type of geek that absolutely has to have one, Minibox has unveiled a product called the Voom PC2 for in-car computing. And it looks like an amplifier for stereo. So it would definitely blend in well with everything else. But it's pretty feature-rich. And it has USB ports. It has video outputs. So check it out. It's available via Engadget. I have the link up in the show notes. Now, when Andy McCaskey and I were out at the Consumer Electronics Show and actually in the Nokia tent, because Nokia actually had a tent there. They weren't inside the building, and I think we had actually taken some video outside there. They had introduced the Nokia N800 Internet tablet. Now, Andy was just dying to get one, so after we left the show that day, we went back to the hotel, and Andy called the CompUSA locally and was able to get one. And this is a pretty cool little device. Now, I don't think it's going to replace your PC, but those of you that are gadget freaks and you've got an extra $400 to spend, this Nokia tablet allows you to connect via Wi-Fi. It does video somewhat okay. It utilizes a 330 megahertz Texas Instrument processor, and it runs on an open source application. Very, very, very cool. I played with his for a little while, and I don't know if you've seen these or not, if you've seen the actual devices. When you get a chance, if you're in one of your big boxes and you're around a booth that has the cell phones and stuff, look for the Nokia N800. Give it a whirl, see what you think about it. I think this is kind of the first step. And if Nokia gets their act together and put some time into the operating system that they're using on this, and they actually develop a number of applications that can be utilized in the open source community, gets to putting together little apps for it, I think it could be a very, very powerful little device, especially when you're running around town and you want to be able to connect, check email, maybe even use it as a podcast aggregator if they don't have that application in there yet. But I could see this thing being used for a number of different things. But anyway, check it out. Link will be up in the show notes. And, of course, you definitely want to listen to Andy's show over at slash.review.com because he talks. He'll probably be talking about the device because he uses it quite a bit. All right, Microsoft demoed a Windows Vista on an iMac. And I guess apparently this happened somewhere in Europe. I don't know exactly where. It was actually Microsoft Norway demos Vista on a Mac. So those of you that are Mac users and you're running boot camp, it sounds like you're going to be able to run Vista. Now, what's really surprising about this is that it was a Microsoft employee that was actually doing the demoing on an iMac. Now, does that just make you go, or what? Now, what's going to really rock is the day that we can put OS X on a Windows-based PC. That's the day we're really going to, that's when some walls are really going to come down. We'll have to see. I'm sure it'll probably be before you-know-what freezes over. All right, this is a site that's been out for a while, and they've got an application. If you're not, if you're a big music fan, you're definitely going to want to check out the Hype Machine. This got some press today by both Jason Calacanis and Dave Weiner. They talked about it a little bit, and I had heard about it, but I guess the site's been out a year. Really, really cool. The Hype Machine keeps track of songs and discussions posted on the best music blogs. You can listen, discover, and buy songs that everyone's talking about. And what's even cooler is it allows you to export the things that you like into an RSS feed so your friends can subscribe to stuff that you like and vice versa. So it appears, too, that this application is able to go out and grab music that's just on all these different music blog sites. Some of that music could be RIAA controlled, so be careful on that. But anyway, put Hype Machine stuff on your site to check it out, and it's at hype.nontaxstandard.net. Probably they couldn't get the domain. I'll put the link up in the show notes. Probably won't be able to remember that, but it's called hype.nontaxstandard.net. So kind of a weird domain name, hard one to remember. Okay, over on Robin Good's website, he's got a new article out called Video Search Engines and Online Video Directories, a mini guide. This is a great article. It really, really is. Talks about different video search engines. Some of these services I was familiar with before, but if you want to add some cool sites to your arsenal, being able to find content, you'll definitely want to review this article. But again, Video Search Engines and Online Video Directories, a mini guide. So check that out. Apparently, Microsoft is not real happy with their search results. Now, in all honesty, how many of you use a search engine other than Google? Now, I don't want to hear from you if you use Google, but I want to hear from you if you use a search engine other than Google. And I'd kind of like to get a little straw poll to see what you guys have set for your default search engine. What do you guys use? I don't remember the last time that I maybe went over to Yahoo a couple of times in a month. I don't think I've done a search on Microsoft's website, and I may do some vanity searches over there. I'll go over there and like search for the website to see where I am in the ranking, or that's the only thing I use it for. I don't use it for any detailed searches because it seems like I never can find what I'm looking for, and I guess I've got enough understanding on the nuances of Google that I've learned to use some of the advanced features, and I always find what I'm looking for there. You know, I was actually working on a second term paper this week, and I'm actually doing an article on a term paper article on houseless people. Now, that's kind of you're saying houseless. In Hawaii, we have a big homeless problem, but we also have a big houseless problem in that the cost of houses, the cost of rents, the rental market, the minimum wage issues, service-type jobs have essentially, we've got people in this state that are working full-time jobs, but they still don't have enough money at the end of the week to be able to afford an apartment and be able to put their family in those. So we have people here that are displaced, that are living in beaches and different areas in the community that are called houseless. Well, anyway, I did some searches, and I came up with like an abundance of resource material to use within my research paper. And you know, what would I do without Google? I would have been in the university's library search engine, pulling my hair out trying to deal with their system, where I was able to get access to all of the periodicals and everything I needed to do to get good source material that could be attributable. But anyway, enough on that. But Microsoft's not happy with their search results, and they're saying that they expected their revenue to be at least 11% of the company's total, but now they're thinking it's going to be 3 to 8%. So they're not happy about it. Those of you that use Thunderbird 2 Beta Release 2 is out. So if you're a Thunderbird user, I definitely want to check out the listing. I'll have a link up in the show notes to that. A couple of things going on the NASA front. NASA's moving up the next shuttle launch by a day. They've got a little bit of conflict going on. They got to get the shuttle up and back before there's a Soyuz mission that's going to launch. So they've moved the actual launch date up a single day. As well, the new rocket that is being developed it's called the Ares, A-R-E-S. The Ares 1 is progressing well, and they're saying that that rocket should be ready for its first test flight in 2009 with additional testing, I guess, in 2012. And they're coming in a little heavy on the rocket, but they think they can get the weight down. Now, check this out. This new launch system is going to be able to lift at least a 50,000-pound payload. And it's the Orion capsule that it's going to be sitting on top of this Ares rocket will be capable of taking six people to the International Space Station. I guess it's also going to lift cargo as well. I haven't read too much about this. I need to get up schooled up on this. But nice to see that apparently they're on their progression path is going well. It's good because the shuttles are not getting any younger. All right, folks, we've all heard about botnets. And, you know, everyone probably worries about their machine becoming infected and people doing things through it that you don't want them to do. In other words, collecting passwords or sending out email via it or attacking other machines. But unfortunately, probably within this audience, there could be as many as 25% of you that actually have some sort of botnet software on your computers. Now, this is based upon, you know, general statistics where they're saying now, and this comes from Vint Cerf, he has said that approximately 600 million computers are now connected to the internet and that nearly 150 million of them might be participating in a botnet. Now, I don't know where he gets his information. He does have a stats page that he brings up stuff. It's got some very, very startling statistics on this. Now, he doesn't go into any details of, you know, where these botnets originate, if it's, you know, the high majority of these are overseas, but it's a big, big issue. And I know, as you know, I shouldn't have said that 25% of you have botnets installed in your computers, because I know you listen to this show and I know that you take care of your PCs and that you have software installed on there to keep this bad stuff from happening. But I'm sure there's a great number of people that don't. They just don't have a clue. You know, you guys know all those people that don't have a clue on what's going on in with their computers. You know, think about that. 150 million people have has essentially a bug on their machine that allows those people to collect passwords, credit card information, banking information. Think of the damage they could do. You know, if they held that information back and then did big attacks on people's bank accounts and so forth. All right, a couple of quick things. If you're a QuickBooks user, you definitely are going to have to upgrade to QuickBooks 2007. If you upgrade to Vista, QuickBooks 2006 and below will not work on Vista, okay? So fair warning, I actually got a CD in the mail with an upgrade offer from the folks at Quicken to update QuickBooks, but anything before QuickBooks 2007 is not going to work with Vista. So be forewarned on that. And that's a pretty hefty upgrade. I think it's a couple $100 for the upgrade. Of course, I'm trying to determine, you know, I've got, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out the night of the actual Vista launch or not, but if you're planning on going out, I'd love to see some pictures from wherever you're at. If you're going to be going out, let me know where you're going and what you're going to buy and how many PCs you're going to upgrade, or if you're just going to sit on the fence. All right, last couple articles here before we get wrapped up. And actually, I already talked about the AECS a little bit, and I'm going to put up a link to a new website that's being launched called reasonableagreement.org. It's going to be a website where they're going to be looking at end user licenses and talking about those from various companies. So I think that'll probably be a pretty cool site that they're talking about as well. I have a couple of nuggets in the show notes from stuff that I did not cover in the show tonight that I have here linked up. I've got four or five more articles. But we're at 53 minutes. I want to get into the audio comments. And let me start off with the first one here. We'll kick this off.
Hey, Todd, this is Frank from Milwaukee.
Hey, Frank.
I had a chuckle looking at your site. I see the Tubes article about tubesnow.com. Well, maybe Ted Stevens did invent something like Al Gore. These guys are close to the internet. Remember Ted Stevens talking about a series of tubes? Looks like he was right on the money. Hey, I just want to give you some feedback regarding your the CES show. I've gotten behind listening and everything because you went to the looking mode versus the listening mode with video versus just audio. I don't take the time to sit in front of the computer and watch it. I did a couple. To be truthful, I didn't find it that compelling. I love listening to your show, and that's what works best for me. So I kind of got a little out of sync. I wonder if that happened to any other people. And good luck. Thanks for trying it. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the feedback. Definitely appreciate it. And, you know, even though we had the video content up, I did do two normal shows as well. I had two regular shows up with different interviews in and audio comment. But we were putting so much video up there at the same time. I think what happened was is many of you have got your podcatcher set up to only download like the last show. So some of you actually missed sequence shows because I know the numbers on the Tuesday show that I did at CES are almost half of what they normally are. Now, the numbers are back up where they should be, but I know putting the intermixing the video and the audio was definitely not probably the best thing to do, and that's one reason why there will be a permanent video feed from now on as well. And we won't intermix video actually into the podcast section of the website. All right, here's the next audio comment.
Hey, Todd, this is Richard out in Georgia. I'm calling about that user question you had on the cell phone with the crippled abilities. That's not uncommon for Sprint. If you look at PCSusers.com and a few of the other Sprint forums online, you can find a lot of people that are told what those phones will do. And the phones are capable of it, but Sprint disables the features. I'm a proud owner of Samsung A920, which my wife won in a contest from Sprint that's capable of quite a few nice features. However, Sprint disables them all. They want to charge you for everything and some of the features they won't enable even if you pay them. So I think that's one of the big reasons why people are so jazzed about the iPhone is they're hoping that the iPhone won't be as crippled or limited or hobbled by Singular, but who knows how that'll go. So anyway, have a good one, Todd.
Hey, thanks for that. Appreciate it. And I got actually an email from a guy that sent me some very, very detailed instructions that I need to forward to our listener that had the problem with his Motorola phone, and I'll be sending that over to him. But I tell you, you know, It does irritate you from time to time, no matter what self-service you're on. You know, all the extra little features, you know, they nickel and dime you to death for different services. You know, Sprint, Verizon, AT&T, they're all guilty of it. And, you know, that's where they make a lot of their money. They really, really do. And, yeah, I hate crippled phones as well. So far as the iPhone goes, you know, I don't know. You know, it's all going to be controlled by Apple. You know, they're saying they're not going to open this up. They're not going to let people add applications to it. You heard Jobs basically saying that if they allowed that to happen, it could cause Singular's West Coast network to go down. You know, he was he's obviously not very open right now to allowing other companies to, you know, it's all about lock-in, baby. You know, that's why you don't see OS X available on the store shelf that you can run on a normal PC. You know, you can only run OS X on a Mac that you buy from Apple, and it's all about in their grand scheme of staying in business and, you know, making people pay a lot of money for hardware. And, you know, they have gotten better. Their prices are comparable. But you look at the iPhone price, whew, you know, guess what? We all know purchases made have to go to the wife. Okay, for those of us that are married, and, you know, I've got a Motorola phone here that is a couple of years old, and, you know, going out and buy another phone, you know, that's one of those, like, why? You know, they look at you, that side look, why? Why do you need another phone? And I'm sure that there's some of you out there that no matter what, you're going to go get it, but that's going to be a purchase price that that takes wife approval. You actually have to get her so psyched about one that you buy two, all right? But I don't know. You know, this whole cell phone thing's silly. Of course, the United States is so far behind the rest of the world in cell phones. It's amazing. It really, really is. Okay, here's the last audio comment.
Hey, Todd. It's Isabel from Missouri.
Hey, Isabel.
I don't want you to get a bigger head, but the truth is I listen to you before Twit every single week.
Woohoo!
Download Twit on Mondays, but usually don't listen to it till Wednesday or Thursday when I've run out of other things to do, like Geek News Central. And Geek News Central is the first thing I listen to on Friday mornings and Tuesday mornings. So just so you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure there's a few others out there. And keep up the good work. I love your podcast. And your Sherry cast with your mom, too, is great. So keep it up. I'm loving it. And if you go away, I don't know what I'm going to do. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks so much. And not going anywhere. I'm going to be here, and as long as you guys will have me, I'll be producing the show. And I must say that that was very heartwarming. I want to thank you for those comments. And everyone, there's a lot of podcasters out there doing great stuff. And those of you that are dedicated to listening to this show, very, very humbling. It really, really is. And you know, when I go in and I look at the statistics and I see the numbers that the show, you know, the numbers of people that are downloading the show, it doesn't necessarily mean they're listening, but I know a large number are. It's humbling. It really, really is. And it, I'm very proud to, you know, do this show a couple nights a week for you and bring you the content. And I'm glad when you guys give me great feedback, whether it be positive or negative. You know, we try to let it all be aired so that you guys hear the good and the ugly. And but anyway, thanks so much for that. Now, we just crossed the 1 hour mark. I do have some email comments. Let me get into that so we can get you out of here in a few minutes. Hey, I want to thank JP. You guys all check on your iPods or on your media players. Look at the new logo on the player today. JP put a logo together for me. I'm going to drop it into tonight's show. It's pretty cool. It goes, it's, you know, if you're looking at your iPod right now, click through to get to the album art. And I want to thank JP for sending that over. Since you're hearing it, it says geeknewscentral.com. It shows a vest, and it says vested in humping tech. So thanks, JP. I do appreciate it. Got an email from Joe. Joe sent me some cool pics or link to some pictures of the shuttle processing, and I want to thank Joe for that. He always finds some cool images out online, and thanks for sending those. Got an email from Brian. He says, hey, Todd, great show on Tuesday. I heard an email comment from a fellow who said he preferred GNC to Twit. I'm in the same camp. That's three. He says, and this is the guy that had the voice comment. He says, so you think I should do a podcast? Funny, I was half joking with my girlfriend a couple of weeks ago about trying to get something going with a podcast. So there was something in particular about my voicemail comment that made you think I should have a go at it. You got a great voice. You got a great voice, Brian. I would die for, you know, you've got a great voice. And, you know, that's half the battle, my friend. Give it a shot. Let's see what happens. And thanks for being a continued listener to the show. And he says, I'd love to ask you a few questions, but Kravis, you're super busy. But maybe you have a link or two that explains some podcasting hardware / software. Go over to, tell you what, don't buy any gear, Brian. Just get yourself a cheap headset. Go out and get some free software. That's the way to start. Don't spend any money until you get to about show 30 and find out if you really like to do it. That's the best thing. You know, just go for it. You know, plug in your headset you've got for your PC already and rock and roll. All right, I want to thank Robert for sending a whole just detailed instructions for our friend that had a problem with his phone. I'm going to be forwarding those to him, so hopefully he'll get something out of that. I want to thank Neil for sending me an email as well. It's pretty huge, talking about essentially talking about the WGA piece I did on the last show. But he talks about Microsoft OEM products and so forth. But hey, Neil, thanks for that. And he's out of London. Very, very long post. I really can't read the whole thing here. But he feels, in essence here, that a lot of people have really been kind of screwed by Microsoft by the simple fact that they've been labeled as hackers or someone that has stolen software by mistake. And that's kind of come out in some later articles where there's been some questioning of Microsoft on how many of the authentications were actually from people that had legitimate copies, but the software made a mistake. Okay, I think that's all I'm going to cover tonight. I've got a whole bunch of more email. Got some from Jed, John. I got an email from Richard. I got an email from the folks over at a couple of companies sent me some emails based on some of the coverage we've done. So anyway, let's wrap this up. As always, call the voicemail hotline 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You all have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Stay safe out there. No matter where you're at in the country, if the weather's bad, drive safe. And I'll be back with you another show on Tuesday. And until then, from historic Fort Island in Honolulu, Hawaii, aloha.